Record. All right, so we are in chapter 14 and verse 13, and I'll go ahead and start reading. It says, "Even in laughter the heart may ache, and joy may end in grief." There's some other translations out there that say it a little bit differently. But what are we talking about in this particular proverb?
Well, we get upset and we just think that it's going to be okay, and then when people say things or do things, then they get upset, and so what they're thinking is not what they want to think.
Yeah.
I feel like a child. If you had a child, they typically bring laughter to your life, and then there's always the possibility that they get sick. Cancer, and they're gone.
Yeah, and the heartache.
How about if the laughter is towards you, like if somebody's laughing at you,
that's why
your heart aches, because you know they're making a joke about you.
Yeah, okay. That could be that.
That would make it hurt. Laughter would hurt someone that way. Mm-hmm.
I think of it as, you know, there are points in time in our life where sorrowful stuff is going on, you know, death of some sort, in the, you know, or like you say, there's sickness in the family or whatever. And so, you know, your heart is sorrowful because of whatever's going on. But, you know, you may be sitting in the room with a loved one at the hospital, and yet you're reminiscing about things, and the whole room is sorrowful because of the state, but yet you've got a reason for laughter because, you know, you're sitting here reminiscing about all these fun things or goofy things that happened or whatever, you know. You know, and then it can turn the other way around too, that it's like, you know, you kind of come back to that grief piece of, oh my goodness, you know, this point in time is a point in time that we may not get to experience again. So you kind of fluctuate between that, you know, sorrowful, and then you're joyful because of something, and then all of a sudden you're back into that grief of things are never going to be the same. So I think, you know, it's kind of telling us that, in my opinion, it's okay to kind of fluctuate, that it's going to happen, you know, that you can be in those states and be joyful and then sorrowful and then happy again for whatever reason. You don't have to stay stuck in sorrow or grief in those kinds of emotions, because there's going to be joy and mirth is what mine uses as well. So I think, yeah.
Yeah, I thought...
The definition of loss.
Well, so I was looking at this from a perspective of hope, right? So mirth is something that's very, let me read it in context. Even in laughter, the heart is sorrowful, and at the end, and the end of that mirth is heaviness. Somebody got a phone?
It's joyful, happy.
Yeah.
Mirth?
Yeah. I think, is it almost like a giddy?
I took it a lot like Crystal did, that it's okay to have multiple emotions. And just because something significant is happening, whether it be good or bad, you don't have to only have that emotion about it.
Well, we still live in the world, so it's not like you're going to be happy all the time.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. The feeling of happiness or gaiety often accompanied by laughter.
Right. I've never heard of that one before.
Really?
Never.
Not yet. You can't say that anymore.
Yeah, this says it's amusement, especially as expressed in laughter. His 6-foot frame shook me with mirth. Someone who's very lanky and clumsy at 6 foot and...
Well, I'm not 6 foot.
Well, yeah, but still. I think it's good with the definition of what that looks like. So where would you put this in categorical assignments?
Yeah, it's laughter and a good life, human speech.
Yeah, that's kind of where I landed it.
That's why.
You know, it could be good, bad, both the life and death side of our conversational pieces. Okay, Karen, verse 14.
The disloyal one will get what his conduct deserves, and a good one what his deeds deserve.
Are you in chapter 14?
Yeah.
Verse 14?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mine says the backslider in his heart will have his fill with his own rotten ways, but a good man will be satisfied with his ways. Pursues him. Oh, that's all. Parentheses.
There. That's how I understand it.
Yeah. All three of those are very different.
All three of those sound very different.
Mine's different too.
Because they all made the same thing.
Yeah.
Well, faithless and backslider would be the same.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. When you're talking about backsliding, bring the backslider. Not back.
Back in.
Oh my God!
Yeah.
Back on.
Yeah. So, can you read yours again?
The faithless will be fully repaid for their ways, and the good man rewarded for his.
Okay.
Mine's simple. It just says, "Bad people will be paid for what they do, and good people will be."
They're
rewarded for what they do.
There we go. There's an easy explanation. Yeah, there's an explanation. That sums it up.
I'm glad I didn't get that first.
Yeah, so.
Repay is not a good repay. It's kind of like, I guess it's kind of like karma. It's going to come back around to you.
Right.
And then the good will be rewarded. They will get something. They will be blessed in some way.
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of the principle of what we call karma, but interestingly enough, this was written long before karma became a thing. I did a little bit of research on that, and karma was well after, that concept was well after what King Solomon had stated. So it's interesting about the timelines, but yes, same.
Isn't karma related to idolatry?
Buddhism and Hinduism, yes.
Really?
Yes.
Huh.
Yep.
Something
right.
Really. I think this verse is kind of cool in the sense that sometimes we get that. I know it says somewhere, I can't remember where it says that, you know, we get weary in well-doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because so many times you see a person who's a backslider or whatever other words have been in these verses, and they seemingly are getting ahead in whatever fashion, you know. So I think this is kind of a verse of hope that it's like, just stick with it. Stick with it. You know, at some point in time, you're going to be rewarded, and they're going to be rewarded, and not the same kind of reward, even though it doesn't seem that way right now.
A lot of people who struggle with faith, though, they're pretty miserable behind closed doors.
Yeah. True. Really very true. Happy. Yeah.
Yeah. So I wouldn't think that we were losing. We were, you know, they're not as happy as they seem.
Yeah. That's very true.
According to this Amplified, it kind of doesn't sound like it's just in a general thing, good people and bad people. It's talking more about people that know God. Those that have forgotten God, that have backslidden away from God,
right,
as opposed to the ones that stayed faithful.
That's all.
So it kind of goes with the previous verse a little bit.
Uh-huh.
The backslider.
Yeah, so in the Amplified, I'll just read here. So is this what yours says? The backslider in heart will have his fill with his own rotten ways. But a good man will be satisfied with his ways, the godly thought and action which is his heart, which his heart pursues and in which he delights. Yeah.
Verse 14.
Yeah, no, we're actually on verse 14, and it is amazing how many different translations say the words differently. So where would you categorize this to study it further, to look at it later?
I'd put it under faith.
Good.
So the word backslider, what does it most align with as far as the people?
Up in the top.
Would it be scorners?
I said fools.
Or fools.
Yeah.
But probably be more faithless.
Right.
Like her Bible said.
Yeah, faithless people. I also put it under the category of righteous. And I also hit obedience, because often it is very difficult. As I read it, it's difficult to obey when everyone else is being rewarded and you're not, and you're still doing the right thing.
Earthly rewards.
Earthly rewards. Yes. Making the clarification. Right. All right, so verses 15 through 18 kind of go together, but we'll read them one at a time so we'll talk about it, but we'll kind of keep them all together as we assign them to the category. Go ahead.
So you just want me to do 15?
Nope, just read them all.
Okay. The simple believes every word, but the prudent considers well his steps. A wise man fears and departs from evil, but a fool rages and is self-confident. A quick-tempered man acts foolishly, and a man of wicked intentions is hated. The simple inherit folly, but the prudent are crowned with knowledge.
Okay. So what's the common theme throughout all of these four verses as we kind of take them in a package?
Self-control and discernment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's kind of like the hothead is, you know, is a fool, and then the guy that's kind of more common or more calm, not so hyper, is better off.
Yeah.
To a certain extent.
I like how it begins. The simple will believe anything, but the prudent man essentially is asking questions. And in the very last, in 18, it says the simple inherit folly, but the prudent who asked questions are crowned with knowledge. I like how that kind of bookends this whole idea, and everything else that happens in the middle is kind of this chaos that can happen if we're not being prudent. And what I wrote in the side of my Bible was, it's okay to ask questions. That's how we learn from one another. And also when we ask questions of God, right? It's important that we ask why. You know, we take things on faith, but sometimes we need to ask Christ, ask God, why? What are we doing? Why are we doing this? Not always. I mean, when we're being belligerent, no. There's a difference, right? How does this work? What is the principle that we're trying to learn here, right?
Every once in a while, I'll tell you.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure the answer is going to be somewhere in Proverbs, and we've got 20 more chapters to go. So what categories would you assign this idea, 15 through 18? And I kind of booked them together because they seemed like they just kind of made a bookend to one another.
Influence,
that would be good.
And then fools. And then I don't have.
Yeah, I had that.
Yeah. And then fools too.
The fools? Mm-hmm.
I put them under simple. And then wise as well.
Simple and wise. Fools.
Council. Did you say council?
No, nobody said council yet.
Oh, that's a good one.
What about faith? Faithful? Faith? Faithfulness? And then under the popular sins section, I hit the last four, which was disrespect, illusion, greed, and pride. Because those verses 16 and 17 are talking about, you know, our behaviors, our pride, our the illusion that we give the crafty man, the one who's plotting and planning. Okay. Anybody have anything else you want to add to that? All right. 19.
19?
Yes.
The evil bows down before the good, the wicked at the gate of righteousness.
Okay. So what is verse 19 talking about?
Sorry.
Did you just wing it at her, did you? All right. Maybe we'll have to make a rule, underhanded tosses. It's soft. Note to self, don't buy the plastic turtle. If this helps, this is one of those I like to look at this one as eternity in mind. When this one, our salvation is important. What this particular proverb really looks more towards eternity and in heaven, and the things that are going to happen in heaven, and what's going to take place there.
You can be successful and have everything here that's worldly and be on top of the world and be an atheist or whatever you want to be, but at some point Jesus is coming and no one will be able to deny God.
Right. Yeah.
But I think that's it. They were all bow. Whether they wanted to or not, I can't deny this
devil's
light anymore.
Right. Right.
This one sounds like something out of a movie.
Okay. How so?
So, you know, with evil bow before good, the note says
that I have in my Bible says there's an ancient custom was for the inferior to prostrate himself before the superior or wait humbly before the great one's gate seeking favor. Good will humble evil. Just like I said.
So in that case, what they're referencing is when in ancient war, when you were conquered, you would bow before the winner of the battle, right? The loser bows and is subject to whatever they choose, whether it's death or slavery or whatever's next.
That's why I say it kind of sounded like something out of a movie.
Definitely.
Kind of, you know, that's kind of what I pictured in my head.
So what categories then would we pass this to?
Well, they all bow before the kings too.
Yes. Yeah, definitely bowing before the king.
Wise. Sovereign God.
A sovereign God, yeah. I added holy God. And because of the evil men bowing in the presence, I also wrote that under pride, because it's certainly a matter of pride that we do not accept Jesus.
Good life.
Yeah. Good. Would you throw that under fools as well? Uh-huh. Scorners? Those who turn their back? Those who choose to just lollygag about their life? So what does verse 20 say?
Are we still on that one?
No, we're on verse 20.
I thought that was my.
You don't have to read. You can pass it on.
The poor man is hated even by his neighbor, but those who love the rich are many.
Yeah, so what's this really talking about?
Lottery,
and
you have friends coming out of
balls.
There you go. Yeah.
The definition of friendship.
Yeah. Yeah, there it's almost the definition of friendship.
Or what do you look on the outside?
It goes both ways, right?
Yeah.
Be cognitive of those who call themselves your friends, and also be cognitive of what kind of friend you are.
Mm-hmm. From both sides, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Kind of goes back to this verse reminds me, the rich, that says the rich mind says the poor is this life, but the rich has many friends because their friends likes his money. They're not truly friends of his.
It could be like that.
That's what I think.
Let's look at it from a perspective that if we were following, you know, in Ephesians, Galatians, it's talking about the fruit of the Spirit. And if we are behaving as love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, and self-control, gentleness, there's the idea that... the one who is doing that inside his life, that is a very rich blessing from God, right? And they are going to have friends because what they're doing in what I'm doing in my life, I will have more friends if I'm behaving that way towards others, right? You will have more friends if you're behaving that way towards others. But those who are poor in those spiritual attributes, they're hateful, they're mean-spirited. Nobody really wants to get along with them, right?
Two sides of being poor and two sides of being rich.
It could be financial, but I really think it's more the cost of our inside behavior, right? What we contemplate on and how we behave on the outside. We become very rich with friends,
in real friends.
So where would we add this on the category section then?
Friends.
Yeah. Family, friends.
Influence.
That's a good one.
That's what I was stuck on.
Obedience.
Illusion. I had disrespect on here as well. And I also wrote down a gift from God. Our speech, our conversation, our behaviors are certainly... we are to honor God, but they can also be honored from gifts from God as well. So verse 21.
Whoever despises his neighbor is a sinner. Blessed is he who is generous to the poor.
Okay. This may or may not be a good idea. I'm not sure yet. She was ready. I think we're going to keep this idea, but I don't know.
Just go find a little girl, beanie baby, it'll work.
It'll be fine. Get a bowling ball. We'll pass the bowling ball. Whoosh. So the NIV makes the statement, it says this: he who despises his neighbor sins, but blessed is he who is kind to the needy.
Mine says, happy is he.
Yeah, that's what it says.
Happy, blessed, good.
Mine says it is a sin to desire one's neighbor.
Despise.
Or despise one's neighbor.
So what is despising?
Hateful, I guess.
Hateful?
Jealousy.
Despise is, somebody's looking it up, so we'll just let them say it.
Feel contempt or a deep repugnance for.
Oh, there's another word you got to look up. Repugnant.
Wow. I haven't heard that word in a while.
Two-syllable word.
Keep it to the one-syllable words.
To look down on with disrespect or aversion.
All right. So just.
Oh, here we go. To regard as negligible, worthless, and distasteful. Those are a lot of heavy words.
If you're in three-syllable words describing a terrible thing, let's just keep it to the ones. Look down on. Yeah, I don't like them. So what's the difference between despising someone and just not getting along and don't like them?
Almost like you go out of your way to get back to them and do something.
Yeah.
You despise them that bad.
Yeah.
I think it's like holding grudge towards them.
Holding a grudge.
Did towards you, and that's that prideful thing. You hold a grudge, and you'll never want to let go of that.
Yeah.
So then that's, you know, what Don says, so two things can go together as well.
Yeah.
I locked in on the word worthless, because I think sometimes with what you all are saying, we look at that person
as
worthless. Yeah. You know, there are the statements. They're not worth the ground you walk on. Is that the right statement? Yeah. Anyway, but you understand what I'm saying. You know, there are those statements like that, that people are, they're not worth it, or, so yeah.
So why is that a sin?
I think it says when you have those feelings towards someone else, it says more about you and what you think of yourself. But you don't realize it, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when the fruits of the Spirit are supposed to be love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control.
I need a job. What'd you say?
I need a new job.
I need a new job.
So yeah, I think Margie's right. I think it's really more about your state, because that's not how God works on that at all.
Yeah.
Well, I really hate to bring politics into it, but if you look at politics today, one side just hates the other side no matter what the topic is.
Yeah.
And the other side just hates the other side no matter what the topic is. I mean, they just...
like the Hatfields and McCoys, they forgot what they were fighting about.
There's
so busy mudslinging.
It's very hateful.
That's a really good point.
But I don't want to bring all things into it.
Right.
But that's exactly what's happening. I mean, you're right. Exactly.
Yeah. Very hateful.
Good point.
Ooh. So what categories would... So let's not stick on the negative. So blessed is he who is kind to the needy. Who's the needy? Is it really someone who's poor, or is it just someone who is in need?
Is it spirit? You know,
There's a lot of need.
Discouraged.
I mean, the neighbor needs a ladder. You gonna let him use the ladder? Yeah, be helpful.
They just need a kind word.
Yeah, being kind.
Yeah.
So like, if you need me to drive your truck, you let me drive your truck.
I'm not driving my truck.
I think any time you're at the grocery store, the gas station, the guy driving in front of you, you know, I get frustrated with people because they're not going fast enough.
Do we really have to talk about people driving? Because
yes,
I'm not a really good follower.
So yeah, so it's like, so, but you know, you get frustrated with people like that, or, you know, my big pet peeve is they can't stay between lines. You need to go back to kindergarten, learn how to color, stay between lines, you know, kind of thing. So
it's kind of driving thing at the cell phone.
So then I think to myself, okay, Lord, they may be having a bad day. They may be, you know, trying to get to some place, but very distracted or whatever. So I flip the script and I start praying for the person in the car that's doing exactly what, you know, because otherwise I'm going to get frustrated and be more frustrated. So I flip the script and I start praying for that car, whoever's in that car.
So you don't close your eyes and pray?
No, I do not close my eyes. Yeah.
And I keep my hands on the wheel, even though God's got it.
Do not close your eyes and pray in the car. Even pray out loud, you know. So yeah. So it's.
So you don't.
I think, you know, but like I said, even at the grocery store, if I've come across the grumpy checkout person, you know, and you're like, seriously, you just had to throw my bananas down the conveyor belt, kind of thing. And again, it's just like, okay, they must be really having a bad day, or, you know, whatever. I think those are the kind of that poor in spirit. They're having a bad day, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I always try to.
You should learn that instead of reacting to something like that, like they threw your groceries in the bag.
Yeah, set a different stage.
Yeah, instead of reacting like, oh, you threw my bananas, reacting with, have a great day, or what kind of day are you having? Back at them positive and try to change it.
So I'm saying, like, Merry Christmas.
The driving thing is one of my pet peeves, too.
Yeah.
On the opposite side. Because not everyone is as good of a driver as everyone else.
And those people who were the weavers and speeders don't realize that some of us have lost our acuity in our eyes, and we need to go a little slower.
I'm sorry.
And some of us have more money than the other person. They have more money. The people that's going fast has more money than the people that's going slow.
Like,
because they can afford
more
tickets.
Gas,
they
can take care of their cars or their hospital bills when they crash. Or,
I'm about looking at it a totally different way, that once you go through the line and the lady bruises your bananas a couple of times, wouldn't we be smart to realize that and go to a different line?
Yeah, that'd be a wise idea.
I was going to say, that person, you needed to be in that person's line because they needed your type of encouragement.
Yes,
they don't know that.
Absolutely.
So see, yeah.
Don't buy bananas.
If I'm paying attention, I completely go the opposite way. If they are super grumpy, I will turn on the fountain of happiness, because
I drive through more so every day at around 3:30, quarter to 4, every day for 28 years, and I've gotten to the point where I drive through the country and I don't even go through town anymore. It's easier just to go around.
It's longer. It's longer for him.
A couple miles longer.
But it's less frustrating. I can't say that I've not done that.
A lot better.
It's probably only 5 or 10 minutes longer.
Right.
It's more peaceful.
Right.
More peaceful. Pass 2 or 3 cars instead of each other.
So is there a different way you can do your work that, you know?
Well, I'm sitting here listening to all this, and I'm like, so I shouldn't just pray for myself to get through dealing with these people?
You should pray for the people.
Yeah.
Yes. But I do pray for myself to get through,
yeah,
of course, dealing with the person that I'm dealing with. Yeah. It's been very tough lately.
It's totally,
but
incredibly
hard. But I didn't get cussed at today, so.
See, you're looking for some positive already.
I do that every day when I'm talking to these people, but yes, I did. I get off the phone and I did tell everybody. He at least didn't use any foul language this time.
I was
going
to say, I always used to tell the girls.
I did say something else, not bad, but it was about him. But I don't despise him.
Right.
He's got issues, and I did say that.
Yeah, there's a difference between
being. I don't despise them.
Yeah, there's a different, and that's what I was trying to get to earlier, is I think there's a difference between not liking someone just because of behavioral issues, or they rub me the wrong way, whatever it is, oil and water, right? But when I hate that person, or I despise that person, I loathe that person, I'm looking at them from the perspective that they are worthless, that is sin. And the reason that's sin is because God looks at me and says, Tim Underwood is not worthless. Tim Underwood has accepted Jesus. My son died for him. No one is worthless because Jesus died for all of them, right? Mm-hmm. I should be that person that is worthless. I'm not a good person, naturally. I'm a very mean and angry person. Naturally, but because of God and because of Jesus, I try to control that, right? There's a difference between despising and hating someone and having a disagreement and being frustrated with them. That's not sinful, as long as you're not despising and loathing and hating, and you know, they are worthless. There is.
Because I do, I go through the mm-hmm. worthless because of why I think that maybe that person is, I don't know, so she's worthless. But yeah, you know, it's a fine line.
Right. Well, I mean, what you're dealing with, you're dealing with people who have had have made extremely bad choices. Right? and bad behaviors, yeah. And you're seeing what one would describe, you know, once they're out of their situation and now they're to be reintroduced into public, they're difficult people, right? And so you're seeing difficulties all day. Yeah.
What is your job?
Well, now I'm at Prosecutor's Office of Child Support, so I deal with people that want to take care of their children. So it's hard not to say worthless.
Yeah.
And the ones that, one today that I deal with too often, in the conversation, he brings up church, and so it was very difficult having a conversation with him.
Almost sounds manipulative on his part.
So I deal with that all the time, the manipulation. So it's difficult to stay, but I still kept calm. I do get frustrated when I'm off the phone, or if I see him in person because we're in court. So I dealt with
difficulties.
Yes. So it's, you know, it's challenging not to say worthless.
You know, I work with a lot of people with alcohol and drugs. Stuff like that. I go into prison and talk to a lot of people about God, about alcohol, drugs. So there's, from where I sit at, there's thousands and thousands of people out there that have alcohol and drug problems. And not everybody, but most people that are in prison or in jail is related to alcohol and drugs one way or another. You know what I mean? Even if they're caught stealing something, it was because they were trying to steal tires off your car so you could sell it, so you could buy the drugs with it. So it's almost all related around drugs. And a lot of them people try to come into recovery and get clean. And when they first start to come around, they're very hateful, very miserable people. And out of all the people that try to come, all right, only like 3 or 4% get it. So for me, the way I look at it is if this person comes around and wants to talk to us about alcohol and drugs, we would more than happy to talk to anybody about it. But after a period of time, you start to see a trend there. Is that person trending the right way or the wrong way? And if they're trending the wrong way, sooner or later, I have to make a decision to go over and help these other people. You know what I mean? Because you're only going to be able to, only a few percent going to get it. It's going to be the same way with you. More than likely, most people are so mad at their spouse that they're just hateful about it. But there might be a few that you can actually work with and really make some leeway with. And the others, you just have to go through the process and do what you have to do. Yes. And it's very hard to do what you have to do. It's very hard for me to have somebody come up and ask me help for drugs or alcohol, and I've worked with them 2 or 3 times. They keep going back out. It's very hard to say, okay, I'm sorry, but you know, I need to go help Billy Bob instead. I'm sorry, but, you know, it's very tough, very, very tough to be in those situations.
And I definitely agree, but yeah, you have to. I do tend to help. I mean, I try and help everyone, but
right.
There is a.
But not everybody's going to get it.
Well, I think we talked about that in the beginning of Proverbs. It's like at some point in time, I mean, just like you both have described, that you, it's not that you're giving up. It's just that they're, they're not going to, they've got to want the change.
If you put all the dead weight in the boat's actually going to sink.
Yeah.
You got to get some people in there so it'll work.
You can't help people who don't want to help themselves, basically, because
or don't want to be helped. Yeah.
Or don't want to be helped either, because this is where I struggled with a long time ago, and I'm just now realizing this, that I'm trying to help out people by giving them money and stuff, but they just want to take advantage of you. So like they're like, oh, she's gonna give me money. Come in. There's money, eventually you're going to be broke. Eventually you're going to go down a dark path by yourself. And that's why I always said, you can't help people unless they want to help themselves too. That's always when I go on my recovery, people ask me, I said, well, you got to put the work in too. It's not just going one person's going to hold your hand up. You just got to do it by yourself too. So.
They're hard decisions.
Yeah, very hard.
Very hard decision, but
just it's very hard. Because you want to bring that kindness on your heart.
But God will give you the strength to make decisions. Uh-huh. You need to make them. Just lean on Him.
Yeah. Well, and it has to be hard because you deal with it every day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it has to be.
It is.
I'm not going to be able to do my job.
You ever sought out a support group? Some ladies about your age you sit around and talk to?
I mean, we do at work. Some days we just stop and we stop working and we just talk.
Sometimes they got support groups for everything anymore. I mean, we have for everything. Look around for ground.
So where would we categorize verse 21 in this proverb?
Influence.
The first one I thought of.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stuck. I think so.
Yeah. Good life, evil, death. Our opportunities with other people are gifts from God. In this case, verse 21, our opportunities that we take, God has put us in a position to do a specific job. And all of us have different jobs, and you're there for a reason, right? Some of us have difficult jobs, but we're still there to shine a light, right? And provide. So these opportunities are gifts, I think, when we look at them that way. Yeah, definitely a diligent worker. Part of the other part of that of diligent worker is obedience. And being faithful. Holding on to your faith.
Commitment.
And being committed, yeah, commitment. All right, how about verse 22?
Do not those who plot evil go astray, but those who plan what is good find love and faithfulness.
So what is that saying? In the NIV, it puts that first statement as a question. Don't those who plot evil go astray? It's the question. And the answer, but those who plan what is good find love and faithfulness.
I was reading something today by somebody I follow, and they were talking about how if you're thinking about a situation and you ruminate on it, and you sit there and, well, next time I'm gonna say this, and then I'm gonna say this, and I'm gonna reply with this, and you know, I'm gonna, you know, tell them all these things, right? And they said that you should not do that for the most part, because physically it's as if you did it, and so every time you go back and think about that, It's as if you're putting yourself in that situation. And I do that. I'm like, oh my gosh, I have done that so many times over the last, you know, and I'm like, that I was literally, when this was being read, I'm like, oh, yeah. Mercy and truth belong to those who devise good. Here I am in my head thinking all of these ruminating thoughts of, I want to say this and this and this and this and this and prove my point and everything. And I'm like, no, I'm not exactly devising good of any sort with everything I just thought of in my head. So I think we can, you know, yeah. My mind really was just thinking, you know, I was thinking evil, you know, I want to make my point, I want to prove everything, and in this case, it's saying, yeah, no, don't. Mm-hmm. Again, God's got it, I don't have to.
I like what you said about, even though you didn't do it, it's as if you did it.
You physically, and that's what they were saying, is the physical response that you have of even ruminating over it is as if you did. So I'm like, you know how when you have those kinds of conversations, you almost do a, you know, there's that weight after you. They're like, every time you ruminate on it, that's what you do to yourself. And I was just like, yeah, so it's.
I listened to a speaker once that was speaking to gossip, right? And she said, I go the step for people say, if you don't have something nice to say, don't say anything at all. She's like, if I don't have something nice to think, I try not to think about the person because it's going to come out in your behavior. If you think bad thoughts about people and stuff, it's going to come out whether you say it or not. Like you said, it affects you.
Yeah, and I think that's what these verses are saying. You know, if you're going to devise evil in your head, then it's going to cause you to go straight. It's going to cause you to sin way back there, whatever that verse, you know, whereas if you
so
try
I spend all my time thinking of evil thoughts, and basically I have no time left to think of good thoughts.
Correct.
Exactly.
So it's interesting. Everyone's kind of talking about this and going around it in the book of Ephesians, and I want to say it's chapter 4 or maybe 6, I don't remember, but in the book of Ephesians it talks about forgiving one another, and it goes into great length in talking about forgiving one another before they ever ask. This whole idea of living a life that is putting aside the things that are hurtful, forgiving them, and continuing on. Actually purposing in our heart to not focus on that mean thing, right? Let's say, for example, my brother hurts me, tears me down, whatever, and rather than spend all of my time being frustrated and angry about that, letting that go, and in my mind, in my personal behavior and my own thought process, I forgive you. I don't have to say that to him because that's his responsibility to ask for, right? But I forgive. Get that away. Lord, that's yours to deal with. I don't want to deal with that anymore because that's hurtful. Mm-hmm. And turning around and continuing to treat them nicely, right? Cautiously, but nicely. I'm not saying this has happened, but I'm just saying that's what that example would be, right? Right. Exactly. And that's the whole thing, right? You stop that idea of bitterness and plotting evil and going astray, right?
God says if you don't forgive others, he won't forgive you. So.
Right.
Correct.
But the idea of forgiving somebody is so that you can move on.
Yeah. It's a mental health issue to move forward. It was interesting when I was doing that, when I was studying that a long time ago, I realized that a lot of our mental health issues, not severe, profound, not things like that, but I mean just our normal, everyday mental health issues that we all have are a lot to do with the fact that we don't forgive, right? And we aren't planning to find good and love and faithfulness and walking with Christ. Mm-hmm. So we're out of time, but let's find where we're going to put these in categories, and then we'll wrap this up tonight. This is verse 22. What categories would we assign this to?
I did influence.
Influence, that's good.
And I put good life and evil and death.
Yeah.
That's why I'm stuck.
I did what Scooby did, but I also went to faithfulness. Faith.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm going to commitment, because I think you have to really commit to overcome that.
Yes, you do. And the easy one to go to is planning, plans. Laying out a plan in your own mind to be thinking that way.
Yeah.
I also put this down on neighbors. More of how others see us. So some weeks I do a really good job with this, and some weeks I don't. And so I want to make sure that we're a little bit over. We're going to end at verse 22. So next week we'll pick up verse 23. But of all the things that we've written down tonight, let's kind of recap this whole concept of what we've been talking about. What are some of the things that have kind of stuck out to you tonight from this short study, just a little bit of time in the book of Proverbs this week in chapter 14? What are some of the things that popped out in these categories that you kind of filled up that kind of struck you?
Influence is the big one that struck me.
Our influence in others?
Yeah, I'm supposed to say exactly.
No,
I'm agreeing with you. That whole line was just boom, boom. Yeah,
it just almost filled up.
I think they're all speaking to us to look inward.
Yeah.
At who we are and who we want to be.
Looking inward, influence, who we want to be, our behaviors.
Our behaviors, our thoughts.
Yep. Behaviors, our thoughts.
Importance of forgiveness.
What's that?
The importance of forgiveness.
Cool. Let's pray, and then we'll close. Dear Heavenly Father, we do love you. We thank you for the time that you've provided to us to help us have perspective as we go about our day tomorrow. Help us to hold our perspective to be godly. Help it to be honoring. Help, Lord, our love for you to shine through in what we do, what we say, and how we think, and how we live. These are hard things. They're difficult. And Lord, we pray that you would help us to follow you in the way that you would like to see us behave. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yeah, I got you, son.
Yeah, sir. Thank you.